Would you please open your Bible to the end of Hebrews chapter 10. This morning we're going to make a bit of a transition with the author as he livens up a topic. And that topic is the topic of faith. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 39, he painted a picture of, in verses 26 to 31, of those that have maybe heard the truth about the Savior. Maybe they have come up to that close point of believing and yet have decided they don't really need Jesus. They're referred to in those verses, 26 down to about 31. And then he turns to the people who are reading this or listening to it. They're being taught. And he tells them from 32 down through 36, you guys aren't that way. God's not going to forget about the fact that you know him and he knows you. And so he sums it up in 39 by saying, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving or possessing of the soul. And just to read a little bit different here, we are not of the shrink back ones. So the we in the context has to go way back into chapter 2 probably, and he's pulling it forward. We, and we're going to look at just a little list of things, I want you to go back. Let me read this one more time as an introduction. 39, we are not of those, the shrinking back ones to destruction, but rather in contrast of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Last week, possibly, I don't remember, but in weeks gone by, I made a statement about faith that I'm going to just say the wording was not proper. I don't agree with it anymore. And that is that he's introducing a new concept of faith. I didn't listen to last week's recording. It did remind me, though, as I was thinking this through, of hearing Dr. John MacArthur one time say that people will ask him, do you ever listen to recordings of your sermons? And he said, only when I want to see what I believe about something. I appreciated his little humor there. But I didn't listen to this. But I made a statement that he's introducing a new concept of faith. But it's not a new concept. However, I believe it is a very fuzzy concept. He's talked about it earlier on about four different times in the book prior to this. But as a whole people, it's kind of nebulous. What is this faith thing? And down to us today, I believe it could be the same thing. So he's introduced it. He's ramped up to present. All of chapter 11 is about faith. He's going to clarify it. But I got to show you where he started. Back in chapter 4 to begin with, please. Verse 2, he in the book starts the concept, but he's going to demonstrate how faith is much older than the writing of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 4, verse 2, for indeed we, there he is again, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, remember the context, talking about the Israelites that came out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't enter into his rest. That becomes the picture that he sits his whole teaching on. That's a foundation, or for a window of understanding, however you want to look at that. For we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them. There was no benefit because it was not united by faith in those who heard. They heard the message from God, but the faith wasn't applied. Faith is the word from the Greek word pistis, and it's a word that when it's applied in a kind of a verbal form, I'll just put it that way, it is translated into the word believe. It's the same word. It just described a little differently in our English language. It's to have faith, or it is to apply belief, is the idea here. And so the times in the book of Hebrews where this same word is used, one time it's the word believed. We'll see that in a minute. Other times it's just simply the word faith. It was not, what they heard was not combined with faith. It's logical, isn't it? They didn't believe God. Chapter 6, verse 1. He tells these non-growing Christians, they've been stunted in their growth, therefore leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ. Let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and from that place of death and of faith toward God. We don't have to lay that again because it's laid. Chapter 6, verse 1, the faith toward God. So he brings up that faith again. Down at verse 11 and 12, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope. We're going to pick up that word in a little bit in Hebrews 6. Firm until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but pursuers, imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Chapter 10 and verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Okay? Faith is out there. Yeah, it's kind of dangling as a word, I think, in these people's mind. They might have had this understanding of it, and they might have had a completely different understanding of it, just because it was maybe left to their own interpretation. And that is why he clears it up. He becomes very clear on the topic of what I am talking about. It's almost like, oh, what is this faith thing? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Let me explain this to you. So then down in chapter 10, 38 and 39, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of the shrink back ones. You see him saying that? We're not of those that shrink back to destruction. Why? What he's been setting up in the book is true. What you've heard, you've applied in belief. And you have faith. We are those that continue on. Verse 39. Of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. I want to draw out, and for the sake of the recording, just describe a little bit. Kind of a timeline of belief in Christ. And the timeline is going to be, I like pictures. You know, I understand the Hebrew people dealt a lot with word pictures. I relate to that. It's intersecting in somebody's point in their life. And they're maybe hearing about religious stuff, spiritual stuff, ultimately maybe even gospel. And I'm going to represent this by a horizontal line that's kind of squiggly, unsure, unstable, just up and down roller coaster. Yes, no, yes, no, maybe, well, what about this, blah, blah, blah. And then let's say at a certain point, for me, November 1975, it sunk in. November of 75 is when my unstable ground became a solid line. And that is going to represent belief in Christ. But I'm going to draw a little bit differently than you might expect. Hopefully it finds its purpose here. I'm going to intersect this line with a different color that's going to represent actual faith in Christ. When on this timeline, from the squiggly to the solid. You with me? And you might think that it comes in here where the solid, flat, stable line begins, but it does not. In this book of Hebrews, that intersecting line of belief in Jesus happened here. And there's still some squiggly line afterward. Why is that?
You're searching.
Searching it out, questioning. Remember, I've been teaching for weeks now about this coming to full assurance of faith. This confidence, right? This stable, yes, I know that I know that I know. That happens at some point afterward. He just said, we are not of the shrink back ones, and you're nervous about it, you're anxious about it. Chapter 6, man, they're back here waffling back and forth. They think they're losing it. Do I have it? Do I not have it? I don't know. Where is it? Faith happened back here. What is faith built on? Well, we're gonna see here. Real quick. You can assume it. Maybe you can teach the same class. Faith, in the context of the Bible, is not on some unreasonable thing that, man, I'm going to jump off this cliff and I hope there's something there. Zero to do with that. It is completely based on reasonable stuff. Now, the reasonable stuff that is here in God's Word is the Word of God as God has presented it to us. As He, in fact, here in Hebrews, talking about the gospel particularly, about Jesus particularly, God promised it, and then what was the second thing He did? Do you remember the word used? Confirmed it with an oath. God, who cannot lie, made this statement. And so, the intersecting line of belief is in the squiggly part prior to the confident, stable part. Now, just see if that little picture helps a little bit. As we step into this next little chapter, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to preserving of the soul. Throughout this chapter and earlier, back in verse 19, since, brethren, we have confidence. Verse 22, full assurance of faith. Verse 23, the confession of our hope without wavering. There's stability in all of that. I don't have to wonder. Not if it's based on God's Word and God's action. If it's based on my fickle life, if it's based on my fickle feelings and my bad attitudes and all the stuff that I measure to think, well, maybe God's done with me now. If it's based on all that, yeah, I understand the squiggly line. But God doesn't measure off that line. It is Jesus that God promised, God said, God did, presented in the book as the full atonement, payment for my sin. Whew. I can come to that place and say, wow, thank you, God. And maybe that line, instead of going horizontal, should make an upward turn. Right? And we grow. We grow in our knowledge of Him, even in our confidence of Him. Not based on me and stuff I come up with, though. Because I'm going to end up at some goofy place. Leave it up to me. I can spoil it quick and easy. I want to make sure that I've got all of my notes I wanted to tell you. Okay. Turn back, in your Bible to chapter 11, verse 1, please. Chapter 11, verse 1 down through 40. Quite an extensive chapter to describe for us how this author understands faith. Now, let's bring in another illustration. A bunch of years ago, I think, maybe it was probably my wife, purchased a facsimile copy for me of the earliest Noah Webster dictionary. What a cool book. What an absolutely cool, thick book. And I've used that many, many times. Used words that we use today with this nuances meaning today. Go back and look what I meant then. Whoa, he's got all these biblical references even. He's got concepts in there that we have lost. Language evolves. So to go back and see the definition that was there then can help me understand language today. Right? So also this author is saying, here's what I mean by faith, and I believe it is absolutely inspired by the Spirit of God. Here's what God means as the word faith is used. Now, there's a little poison out there. It doesn't appear like poison, but it's kind of poisonous, a bit toxic. I first heard it years ago, maybe 25 years ago. And that was somebody encouraging somebody else. Well, you need to have faith in your faith. How does that, what's that look? How do you measure that? What is that? Go ahead, Armin.
In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says that faith is a gift of God.
Okay, Ephesians 2, 8. It's a gift of God. Romans 10, 17, it comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. What's God's definition? It's an earlier definition. Okay, it's not a matter of me mustering up all this positive feelings, trying to chase out the positive or the negative thoughts and bringing positive thoughts in so I can get what I want here. Man, that's an apparition. That's a different monkey there. But we use the word faith. Kind of loose. What did he mean by it? So let's define it in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance. Again, that stable word. It's the assurance. It can be the word substance. It's something that is grabbable. Is that a word? It's solid. It's a confidence. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. There's another fuzzy word. The Greek word translated into our English word hoped means to expect, to anticipate, often with cheerfulness and eagerness. I know it's going to happen. There's not a doubt. So faith is the assurance of things that we anticipate because God said it's going to happen. We can take it to the bank, man. It's happening. And as far as God's perspective, it's already happened. He was without time, outside of time and space. It's a done deal. Faith, having to do with belief, is that which grabs onto, and it is a substance, an assurance of things that we eagerly, cheerfully expect and anticipate to run out because God said it's going to happen. it's out there, and it's just a time frame in between. The conviction, another strong word, conviction. Your Bible may use the word evidence of things not yet seen. This author, kind of like Matthew does in the book of Matthew, in order to present Matthew's gospel, he was writing to a Jewish audience. The Jewish audience needed proof, man. They needed it from something that they already accepted, and that was prophecies from their own Old Testament, their own Bible. So Matthew, you see it different than Mark, Luke, or John. Matthew constantly says, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. So he keeps going back to present his case and drive it to this place of, you can believe this, you Hebrew-minded people. So also this book, he goes back and he sets up his case by appealing to their accepted already, their known already, their history, their Bible. So in verse 2, for by faith, men of old gained approval or obtained a testimony. What men of old would these people have been concerned about and believed as a testimony? Obviously, yeah, people from their own history. He's got a whole bunch of them listed here in this chapter that the audience that he was writing to might not ever have thought, oh, Abraham was a man of faith. Go back before that and go after that. Not thinking of faith, thinking of other concepts and not wrong concepts, but this guy says, no, this is a faith one. And this was a faith one. And this was a faith one. And so he runs down through their history, initiates it or introduces it in verse 2. For by it, faith, men of old gained approval. And then he puts one other little sneaky thing in there. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Okay, if you're going to grab on that, believe it, again, it requires faith, right? Why? Why does it require faith? Belief. There wasn't really a video camera running back then, and I wasn't there, and I can't go back in time to prove this out. God just stated it this way. Here is what took place. And now, we've had some fun with Armin back here, our resident retired scientist, to demonstrate that true science, asking the deeper questions, going deeper and deeper and deeper, discover, man, they're not getting answers. Not in any other way except the explanation that there's an intelligent being that created this. No other option. The only other approach is when we decide there is no God and then ask those same questions. We've got to come up with some answer. Armin, go ahead. I knew I'd cue you in.
Yeah, I know an interesting thing is that if you study a little bit about quantum physics and what they've discovered, you find out that what we think is real isn't until a conscious being actually observes it. In other words, God created the world, and He's the only reality there is. Our physical world isn't real. It's only God that's real, ultimately, independently real. Everything else depends on God.
Okay, I didn't understand anything you said, man. And don't try to explain it to me right here.
By faith we understand.
by faith. I accept, yes. Now, look at this. Thank you, though. I appreciate that. And again, the deeper we go, you see the fingerprints of God. The wording here, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared, and it's the word framed, and it is a building term. I've done some framing. I learned how to frame on those walls that divide up our classrooms, bathrooms, and kitchen back here. And then have done some frame. I like to frame. I goof up on the layout sometimes, and everything to the tabs on the roof are messed up then, but you can do it, you know. The framing is a pretty important part. Now, to watch, you know, one of our contractor guys in our fellowship here do the framing, get out of their way, man. They just blow it out there and it's done. But that is the idea, that it started at a certain place and was built on, in a progressive, exactly right way. If it were mistaken measurements here and there, it would never have worked out this way. And I remember that's a teaching you gave years ago about everything is just so. If we were just a little more this, a little less that, everything is just exactly where it needs to be. Huh. What an accident, right? Wrong. Pure, wonderful design. But how can I grab that? I can't. I can see the evidence of it. The evidence just leads me to a deeper belief in faith. By faith, we understand. We grab, we accept, and we walk in that truth. The worlds, the ages, were framed by the Word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And I know we've played with this a little bit, and again, because of the science world that we live in today, we're able to look deeper and deeper, and a hard item like this podium that is absolutely solid is made up of molecules that you can't see. And ultimately, I understand that there's more airspace in between the molecules than there are molecules. Am I right in that, Armin?
Well, somewhat like that, yeah.
Somewhat. I'm in it, man, I'm telling you. And I can't see those. So someone would say, well, this is a science statement. But not in this framework of the context. He is referring simply to the fact that God made something out of. There wasn't something there for him to work with. Out of nothing came this. God spoke it, let it be. And it happened. And the one really cool thing is, when he created man, what did he do? He didn't speak and say, okay, let a man stand up here. It gets into language that almost speaks of his hands. Well, it does.
Yeah.
Taking a bit of mud, I just can't imagine God confining himself to such little hands, since Isaiah 40 describes him holding the universe in the palm of his hand. You know what I'm saying? Yet he took that bit of mud, that clay, and fashioned, it's another incredible artistic and building term, fashioned, made it on purpose, in a purposeful way. A man. And then he took a little bit of that man and made the woman. Okay. Prove it out. Well, okay. I can't. But I can look at the evidence. And by faith, I conclude what God has already said is true. And I grab onto that and say, yeah. Absolute. And I stand on that. So I was thinking about Jody in the last few weeks, of course, leading up to her operation. Rob that had his operation some time back. Brain operation. Brain's pretty important to your body. You realize that? I mean, my understanding, again, Armin, I don't know that much about those sciences either, but the brain, I understand, is pretty important. pretty important to protect. Because if it weren't protected, what happens? Somebody gets a crushed skull, typically they don't do so well, right? Okay. So, did the encapsulating helmet come first, and then later evolve into this brain thing, or... And then something about the brain running this body, going down the spinal column, which is so fragile, if it's not protected, what's going to happen? You know? Well, what came first if there is no God and it just happened to be? What came first? Was it the spinal column? No, that wouldn't do anything without the brain. Was it the brain? Okay, what's the brain going to do? I mean, we can back it up and back it up and back it up as far into a corner as you want to, and you're going to have a problem. You can't have one item without having the next to work simultaneously. You can't do it. Not going to happen. Great movie that we've got a bunch of evolutionist scientists coming together, and they were discussing the problems they were having in their view of science regarding evolution. Great, great presentation, honest presentation. One of them dealt with this little dinky thing, not visible to your eye, called a flagellum. Heard of a flagellum? When those things are microscopically looked at, taken apart, it is no less than this little critter with a boat motor, outboard boat motor. And the parts that make a boat motor work, it had every one of those parts. You remove one of the parts, it could never work, it could never live. That's pretty complex. Huh. Do I see God? You know what? I am satisfied that I see a designer there. And God is the one that said it happened this way. By faith, I understand that the world existed by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made out of things which are not seen. I'm not sure where else to turn. In fact, I'm satisfied. In all my squiggly line before this, all my turning before, none of it was satisfactory to me, though I tried to believe a whole bunch of it. And when I came to faith in God and understood design, His fingerprints are everywhere. But it's only by faith. I can never convince another individual, nor can you. There is not a way to do it. Here's the evidence. You choose what you're going to do with it. And that's where faith comes in. And that's where his explanation of faith, back in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. When that information is not combined with faith, it doesn't benefit the person whatsoever. Okay, I'll take a pause right here. We've got time for interaction. Otherwise, I'm going to go a little bit further. Question or comment? Craig?
Well, I'd like to bring in another definition of confidentiality. Okay. Basically, a lot in this world is done on confidence. Confidence is actually a statistical term. Okay. And what it has to do with is basically right what we're seeing there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When you're testing for confidence, you have a certain hypothesis or a certain action that you know what's going to happen, or you hope that it's going to happen a certain piece. Take like a coin. Okay, most time we look at a coin, we know it's heads or tails if we flip it up in the air. Okay. We have full confidence that it's going to be heads or tails. Okay? So basically, when you look at certain things, it's hoped for that it's going to come out heads or tails. Okay? And we flip the coin, it comes up, it hits the ground. We don't need to look at it because we already have the evidence of things not seen. Okay. So when you look at it this way, confidentiality is basically a type of faith.
Okay. It's certain.
we go back to the same old thing. As a kid, a child, we tell him, God loves you, he lives in heaven, and he believes it. He has got all this other junk in the way. That's the way it's got to be.
Faith is pretty simple. By the way, let me just insert here that the one that discards any idea that there's a God explanation here, or a personal God, that choice is made by faith. That anything in the world here came into being in any other way than the God factor, the personal being, whether it be evolution or whatever, because we've heard some other odd things too. That is absolutely faith.
Which makes it religion.
It is religion. It is. Because somebody believing this over here has the same disadvantage as us. We can't just go knocking on the God door and say, show yourself to these people. There's a faith that has to happen there. Over here, well, we don't believe that, therefore we believe this and this and this. You believe this. Huh. You present it in a certain way as if it's fact, but absolutely there's a lie in that. And you and me, we can say, wait a minute, is that theory or is that fact? Back him into the corner with it. And you can be nice about it. If it's fact, it's testable in the lab every time. If it's theory, it's called faith. And it absolutely, Joe, becomes a religious move. Yes?
I think it takes mountains of more faith to believe that everything just somehow happened, rather than to believe that someone actually built the thing. I mean, take a 747 airplane. Does anybody here believe that it came together in a junkyard? Anybody who believed that, that would be a lot more faith than somebody believing that it was built by people.
My watch is a lot simpler than a 747. Ask the same question. By faith, we understand, and that's a word of confidence, that the worlds or the ages were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. But how do we know that? God stated it. And so we accept it or reject it. By faith we understand it. We that are not of the shrink back ones, shrinking back to destruction. We that have come to know the Savior, we are not of those. Let's go a little bit further. A couple of individuals are brought up from their history. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. In the book of Genesis, this is chapter 4. It's called an offering. But the Hebrew writer used a different word than offering. He used the word sacrifice, which has to do with an atoning blood spill, let me call it, to cover sin. It's a purposeful word. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith. Probably most of the Hebrew people would always have been compelled to set Abel up as more of a hero than Cain that murdered him. Right? By faith, Abel. Then the next guy. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. Well, that would have been a pretty weird one, but there's only two people in history, both in the Bible, that are listed in that. Enoch is one, Elijah the other. Enoch. And he was not found because God took him up. How do we know that? God told us about that. And his relatives couldn't find the man. He was gone. Where'd he go? Well, we can be, I'm sure he just died and rotted away in some hole somewhere. Not according to God, because God didn't say that about a whole lot of people. So Enoch, by faith, was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Thank you, my brother. You hear it.
I can hear it.
Appreciate that a lot, John. He obtained a witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Pleasing? That's a new topic. And so verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, which has been the production of this whole book. He the rewarder of those who seek him. But how can you believe in him? It's a faith move. So without faith it is impossible to please him. This undermines religious duties that we think somehow appease God. Whether it's Judaism or something that one of us in the room has been, or all of us in the room have been raised under. Religion gets us nowhere before God. I've got the coolest book at home. I don't know, have you even thought about ordering cases of them? Somebody handed out to me and says, man, I hand out so many of these. This is my last one. I'm so indebted to him. The cover, nice paperback, colorful cover. The title is something to the effect of what benefits are in religion. And it's not real thick, 170 pages or so. It's the quickest read I've ever had. Page 1 is blank. Page 2 is blank. Page 75 is blank. Page 141 or 71. It's a blank book! The benefits of religion. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And this right here is not religion, man. It's faith in the living God that is at work. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, because he who believes in him must be, or one that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. It's not about being a good boy and a good girl. It's about believing God and what he has done. And that's as far as I wanted to go today. So, David, do you have a primer? Go ahead, Arvin.
The word religion comes from the Latin, which means to tie up, to bind, like tying up with a rope. Wow. That's where religion comes from the Latin word.
Well, I did not know that. Thank you. The word religion, Latin word, means to bind us, to tie up, to bind up. Anybody else? Let's put a pause on it, and we're here next week to continue on.
Dan?
Yes, sir.
I would like to say this.
Okay.
In our discussion of faith, I think it's important that we recognize that there are different kinds of faith. What is described in Hebrews 11 as one kind of faith. If we're going to understand what biblical faith is, we must understand Hebrews 11. There is a kind of faith that is called naive faith. And that's the leaf in the dark. That's the hope so. It's real. A lot of people have naive faith. There's intuitive faith. Intuitive faith is, I know something is true, but don't ask me to explain it. I cannot explain it. And sure enough, we follow along. It's true. What the person believes is true. But it's intuitive. They don't have the evidence for it and cannot explain it. This is a different kind of faith.
Evidence. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As I said at the beginning, purposely introduced it this way. For them, the faith was not a new concept, but I think it was a fuzzy concept. And he's made an endeavor to clean it up. So, Father, thank you again that you would put up with us more than that. You've intervened. You became Lord Jesus with us so that we can know you. The evidence, Lord Jesus, of your existence, what you said, the claims that you made, the exclusiveness of your person, your actions, that there's no way to the Father but by you. Thank you, Lord God, that you've left room for us, silly human beings, wallowing around in uncertainty and trying to find some other thing. You patiently waited, and many of us have come, and I thank you for that. That we, Lord God and Jesus, are those that don't shrink back to destruction, but continue on to the preserving of the soul. Thank you for life in Christ. Father, I pray that as we move forward, it would be more and more by the faith, trusting you for the outcome, trusting you for the growth and the work. For me. Thank you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.